You're listening to an African Elements top news story for June 1st, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why Chicago wants guaranteed income as reparations. On May 30th, 2026, residents of Chicago's West Side gathered at Alt Space Chicago in the Austin neighborhood. They met for a People's Assembly co-hosted by Equity and Transformation Chicago and the Movement for Black Lives. The crowd rallied behind Illinois House Bill 4443, a bold piece of legislation. Democratic State Representative LaShawn Ford introduced this bill in January 2026 to address long-standing economic inequalities. If passed, the legislation will create the Illinois Future Fund. This fund will establish a statewide direct cash assistance program. It will provide a $500 monthly guaranteed income to qualifying residents who receive SNAP benefits and live in disinvested areas. To many organizers, this cash support represents a localized form of reparations designed to heal historical wounds. The call for reparations on the west side of Chicago has deep roots in history. During the Great Migration, thousands of Black Americans moved to Chicago seeking better opportunities. However, they faced intense discrimination, including racially restrictive covenants and mortgage redlining by the federal government. These practices forced Black families into segregated neighborhoods and locked them out of the traditional housing market. These policies forced Black homebuyers to purchase homes on contract from predatory speculators. Under these contracts, buyers made monthly payments but accumulated zero home equity. Missing a single payment meant immediate eviction and the loss of all previous investments. Black buyers paid an average of 73% more for housing than white buyers. This massive race tax drained billions of dollars out of Black communities and laid the groundwork for today's quest for reparations. In 1968, Black residents in North Lawndale formed the Contract Buyers League to fight this exploitation. Led by figures like Ruth Wells, the group organized payment strikes and filed landmark federal lawsuits. Although they successfully renegotiated hundreds of predatory contracts, systemic wealth extraction had already devastated the West Side. Today, neighborhoods like West Garfield Park and Austin suffer from an average per capita income of $18,000. The combined unemployment rate in these areas is 20%, and West Garfield Park has the lowest life expectancy in Chicago. Modern guaranteed income programs often seem like new experiments from tech philanthropists. However, the concept of a government-backed income floor has deep historical roots in Black political movements. In October 1966, the Black Panther Party published its foundational 10-point program. The second plank of the platform demanded that the federal government provide employment or a guaranteed income to all citizens. This demand emerged from a broader desire for economic independence within the Black liberation struggles. Similarly, in 1967, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. argued that a guaranteed income was the most direct path to economic justice. He believed that piecemeal housing and education programs were not sufficient to end poverty. In his final book, he advocated for the immediate abolition of poverty through direct cash assistance. Modern activists are reviving this legacy to argue that direct cash is a human right. Under House Bill 4443, the state must identify specific areas that qualify for this guaranteed income. The bill relies on the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act to define disproportionately impacted areas. The Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity officially designates these census tracts using a dual standard. First, the census tract must show high rates of cannabis-related law enforcement activity. This includes high numbers of arrests, convictions, and incarcerations for cannabis possession or sales. Second, the area must exhibit at least one major economic distress indicator to qualify. These indicators include having a poverty rate of at least 20%. Alternatively, the tract qualifies if 20% or more of households receive SNAP benefits. It also qualifies if 75% of children participate in the federal free lunch program. Finally, an average unemployment rate that is more than 120% of the national average for at least two consecutive calendar years can qualify an area. House Bill 4443 proposes a unique mechanism to fund these reparations. The program will redirect funds from the state's recreational cannabis dispensary taxes. However, this shift means other existing state programs will lose their current fundings. Specifically, the bill will reduce resources for the Restore, Reinvest, and Renew Grant Program, also known as R3. Under current Illinois law, the R3 program receives 25% of net cannabis tax revenues. These revenues flow into the Criminal Justice Information Projects Fund. The R3 program uses these funds to provide grants to community organizations in five primary areas: violence prevention, youth development, economic development, civil legal aid, and reentry services. Currently, the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority distributes these funds as organizational grants. They go to registered nonprofits, small businesses, faith-based organizations, and local governments. Activists argue that this system prevents the money from reaching the individuals who were harmed the most by the drug war. Funneling funds through administrative structures creates significant overhead and restricts how the money can be used. Supporters of House Bill 4443 point to local pilots to prove that guaranteed income works. In 2021, Equity and Transformation Chicago launched the Chicago Future Fund. This program was the first in the nation to provide guaranteed income, specifically for formerly incarcerated individuals. The pilot provided $500 a month for 18 months to participants on the South and West Sides. In February 2025, organizers released an evaluation of the second round of the pilot. The results challenged common criticisms of cash assistance. Participants did not stop looking for work, nor did they misuse the cash. Instead, they used the money to secure stable housing, pay off court debts, and buy groceries. The study also showed a 44% decline in participation in the informal economy and a decrease in recidivism rates. Opponents of guaranteed income often argue that cash transfers discourage labor participation. They frequently point to a July 2024 study by the National Bureau of Economic Research. This study analyzed a guaranteed income pilot program that ran from 2020 to 2023 in Northern Illinois and Texas. The study found that receiving $1,000 a month caused participants to work slightly less, leading to a small decline in earned income. However, the demographics of the NBER study are not comparable to the target audience of House Bill 4443. The NBER study enrolled 3,000 participants with household incomes up to 300% of the federal poverty level. This broad group included people with higher baseline incomes and college degrees. In contrast, House Bill 4443 specifically targets extremely low-income individuals in disproportionately impacted areas. Interestingly, the NBER study showed that the lowest income participants, who were recruited through a benefits app, showed no statistically significant reduction in labor supply. Therefore, using the broad NBER study to criticize House Bill 4443 is inaccurate. The findings from the lowest income subgroups suggest that guaranteed income provides vital stability without reducing the drive to work. The state of Illinois has already seen local experiments with cannabis-funded reparations. In 2019, the Chicago suburb of Evanston became the first United States city to pass a municipal reparations program. This effort was spearheaded by former Alderwoman Robin Rue Simmons to address historical redlining. Evanston committed the first $10 million of its 3% recreational cannabis tax to fund housing grants for Black residents. However, the program faced major financial challenges. Evanston projected $1 million in annual tax revenue by assuming three local dispensaries would open. In reality, only one dispensary, Zen Leaf, opened during the early stages of the program. Even after a second dispensary named OK Cannabis opened, local sales fell far short of projections. The tax generated only about $100,000 annually, forcing the city to divert funds from its real estate transfer tax to cover the deficit. To avoid a sudden shock to the state budget, House Bill 4443 proposes a gradual phase-in of its funding. Beginning in fiscal year 2029, 5% of the designated cannabis tax revenues will go to the Illinois Future Fund. This allocation will increase by 5% each year until it reaches the full 25% by fiscal year 2033. This phased transition allows the state to adjust as funding shifts away from R3 grants to direct cash assistance. The debate over funding comes at a time when other states are also exploring reparations. For example, activists in Illinois closely watch the progress of reparations in California as they shape their own policies. If House Bill 4443 succeeds, it could set a new national standard for localized, cash-based reparative justice. Copyright, African Elements.